From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Our speaker is Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues to deal with Paul's words found in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13, "For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body," part of this series on the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. As Dr. Cairns has shown, this statement is synonymous with regeneration. Paul is teaching here that it is by regeneration that the Holy Spirit brings us into vital union with Christ. Further, by this act, all who are born again are brought into union with all who are in Christ. From this truth, we ought to learn to see the blessing of God in other parts of the body. Interpretational differences should not be a cause of division among members of the body of Christ. Before coming to the message, Dr. Cairns answers the question, "Does God practice deliberate deception?" This is an excerpt from Q&A with Alan Cairns, found in video format on our website, ltbsradio.com.
Does God practice deliberate deception? Quoting Ezekiel, "If the prophet's deceived, I have deceived him," or Paul's words to the Thessalonians, "I will send them strong delusion that they might believe a lie." You'll notice in all those occasions that the deceiver is not God. The deception is the lie of the devil. It is something that men have willingly chosen, and God gives them up to it. Now, when the Hebrew scriptures say, "I have deceived them," it is a way simply of saying, and of course this is true of everything in the world, "I have allowed this," or "I have caused it to be." Caused it to be in the sense that these people are being given over to what they want. God did not tell them a lie, but He certainly allowed the liar to come and talk to them, and He allowed them to believe the lie. And it's not a lie imposed on them. Deception, you see, is always something imposed on a person, taking them more or less that they don't know they're being deceived. No. This, God is not imposing anything on these people. He's giving them up to what they already have chosen and already what they desire. Same in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. The strong delusion. Remember the time period in which this is speaking of. It is speaking of a time when the man of sin, the Antichrist, the supreme deceiver, Satan's great tool in the earth, is being embraced by the world, where they have deliberately rejected light and have called darkness light. They have deliberately rejected truth. They've taken the lie. They've embraced it as the truth. They've deliberately rejected Christ, but they've embraced the Antichrist. And what God is saying is, if that's what they have chosen, I will give them up to that. You see, for God to deceive, quotes, doesn't take any positive deception at all. All it takes is a withdrawal of restraint or a withdrawal of light or information. For God to give them up to that deception and that delusion is simply for God to withdraw the energy of His Spirit and the power of His gospel. And once He does that, and He doesn't owe any of those things to any of us, once He does that, men are in bad shape. That's the force of those scriptures. And anybody who takes them in any other way to blame God for what men have chosen and what God has allowed them then, as it were, having made their bed to lie in, is a misuse of scripture entirely.
Do no sinful action. Speak no
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. The response to these broadcasts has been most encouraging. Your words of appreciation and support mean a great deal to us as we seek to proclaim the unsearchable riches of Christ. From time to time, we're able to offer various of our publications to those who request them. We're pleased to announce that the newest edition of Let the Bible Speak Quarterly Magazine is now available. The principal focus of this issue is the Great Revival, which took place in Ulster in 1859, a moving of God's Holy Spirit which saw literally thousands of people swept into the kingdom of God. Five of our Free Presbyterian ministers will deal with various aspects of the revival. Also, this issue contains another in a series of articles about the founding fathers of the Free Presbyterian Church. In this issue, you'll read about the life and ministry of the Reverend John Wiley. You may have a free copy of the magazine simply by asking for it. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy the program, you may like to visit our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget the word radio, ltbsradio.com. In this connection, we'd like to call your attention to a series of video features on the website. In these video clips, Dr. Cairns answers questions from both believers and non-believers regarding various issues, such as, why did Christ have to be baptized? How do we know the Bible is the Word of God? And what is the greatest need of the church today? These video portions are listed under Q&A with Alan Cairns. You are sure to find these presentations to be informative and enlightening. Q&A with Alan Cairns is found on ltbsradio.com.
back of our decision, lying back of our coming to Christ, lying back of the first step that we ever took to the Son of God, there is a mighty action of God in His sovereign grace and power. I would to God that that branch of Christian doctrine would be preached by preachers today. I would to God that it would be realized that salvation is not experienced merely by any decision of the flesh. Salvation is not entered into by anything that man can do working upon his own depraved will. Salvation is experienced by faith, and that faith is the product of a prior gracious work of God. My friend, unless we get God back into the gospel, our churches are going to be in a sad way. We have bred a race of pseudo-Christians. The old Puritans spoke of them in many ways. People who had merely taught duties. They had been taught to do this, do that, do the other thing. Pray this, pray that, pray the other thing. And duty will lead to salvation. That's not the gospel. It's time that we got God back into the gospel. It's time that we got the sovereign grace of God back into the gospel. It's time that we realize that the first act that will do a man good is always God's act. My, that will lead us to pray that God will act. And when He does act, there are always the most blessed results following. But this act of God is specifically the act of His Spirit. Last time we looked at this, it was quickening, bringing life to the believer. Now, here's another description of it. It is baptizing the believer into the body of Jesus Christ. Now, let's follow this through in the Scriptures a little bit. And I say a little bit because I'm turning now to a couple of Scriptures that I'll read together. But if I were to preach on them, they would need a whole series of messages in themselves. Romans chapter 6. Put your finger in there. And then turn over to Galatians chapter 3 and 27 and mark that so that we can read them together. Now, I don't want to offend your susceptibilities. You may be a good, strong Baptist. I don't want to trample on your toes unnecessarily. And I'm not fighting with you because you believe in immersion. I have been immersed, so I'm not going to fight with you over it. But some people, every time they read the word water, think it means baptism. And that's not just Baptists think that. Every sacramentalist that has ever come to hurt the cause of Christ has believed the same thing. It doesn't matter whether it's adult baptism or infant baptism, every time they see water, it means baptism. Doesn't necessarily mean baptism at all. Then there are others, and every time they see the word baptism, they think it means water. And I have news for you. You watch it carefully. In the epistles, when baptism is spoken of, more often than not, there is not the slightest reference to water at all. Now, I know that at most baptismal services, Romans 6 is read. I'm not going to fight with anybody over that, because you can take it that the physical act of water baptism is in some way typical and declarative of the spiritual act of spiritual baptism. But never try to read water into Romans 6. Watch it carefully and you'll see why. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Galatians 3:27, as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Here is a baptism, and everyone who receives it has put on Christ. In Romans 6, here is a baptism, which is a baptism into the death of Christ and a coming forth in the resurrection of Christ. Now again, I point out that there is no baptism known to man by virtue of which you go down into the water a sinner and you come up a saint of God. But there is a baptism. The baptism by the Spirit of God that takes a soul and puts him into Jesus Christ. And infallibly, that baptism means eternal life. It is the inception, the very first beginnings of that everlasting relationship which the Christian has with his Redeemer Christ. Now, in Romans 6, I haven't really time to go through that. I have mentioned it so many times in the past and threatened to preach on it so many times. Maybe I should do it some of these occasions. But all we have time to note this morning is that by, watch Romans 6 very carefully, note the force of Galatians 3:27, we have put on Christ. By the action of the Holy Spirit of God, we are so united to Christ that in the truest possible sense, we are one with him, so that we are regarded as being personally invested with all the merit of his death and all the power of his resurrection. This is speaking of the legal, objective, real oneness of Christ and his people, so that on Calvary our great head died, satisfied God, and opened heaven. And in God's sight, in Christ, we died. All the wrath of God that can ever be poured upon those who are in Christ has been poured upon their head. Therefore we can say with Romans 8 and 1, there is now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Not that God has abrogated the law, but that God has fulfilled the law in visiting its penalty upon our living head, the Lord Jesus Christ. When the Lord Jesus rose again, in him we rose. When the Lord Jesus sat down at the right hand of God, Ephesians 2 says, we sat down with him. We are personally regarded as being invested with all his merit. There's the ground of our acceptance. If God imputes the merit of Jesus Christ to me, then I need no other argument. I need no other plea. It is enough. Oh, I would to God we would learn the meaning of that word. It's enough that Jesus died and that he died for me. When God imputes the merit of Christ to me, he accepts me as he accepts Jesus Christ. When God invests me personally with the power of the resurrection of Christ, he says, first in this life there's victory over sin. And second, in the life to come, there's an open gate to glory that no power in heaven, earth, or hell can ever shut in the face of a believer. Why? Because we have been brought into vital union with Christ. We live in Him. Oh, that God would stamp that on our heart. What peace it brings to a believer to know, I am not laboring for acceptance with God. I am not working to make God think better of me. I am not laboring to get a place in glory. I have all those things by virtue of the all-sufficient work of Jesus Christ, to which there can be no addition. I now labor not in order to acceptance, but because of it. Sometimes human psychologists talk an awful lot of rubbish. Sometimes they stumble upon a segment of truth. Those who like to think themselves expert in child rearing are forever telling us, and if you're fool enough to go to all the seminars on child raising, well, you've more time to waste than I think. But if you've done that, you'll find that they're fond of telling you that an atmosphere of love, an atmosphere of acceptance, an atmosphere of unconditioned acceptance and love is the best atmosphere in which obedience and reciprocal love and respect will grow. There's a lot of truth in that. And I say that because that's how God deals with His children. Oh yes, He knows how to discipline disobedient children. But it's done with a Father's love. God does not deal with Christians as many preachers would like you to believe. I've had more people come to me and say, I've been brought up under this kind of guilt preaching, that God has saved me, but He's standing right at my shoulder and He's got a big stick in His hand, and if I err the slightest hair's breadth right or left, He's about to clobber me over the head with it to get me back in line. My friend, let me tell you, we need to recognize that the grace of God, and especially the work of the Holy Spirit baptizing us into the body of Christ, has united us vitally and eternally to the Son of God. He accepts us. And because of that, we love Him. Because of that, we serve Him. Because of that, we go any length and do anything that He would have us do.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We are here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at faithfpc@freepres.org. That's faithfpc@freepres.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.freepres.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free, 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us once again as we let the Bible speak.